Today the topic is Sammaditti and Sammasankappa. Which is translated as harmonious perspective and harmonious thought or thinking. And these are the first two steps or two aspects of the Noble Eightfold Path. And those who have studied the Four Noble Truths are familiar with the Eightfold Path. Eightfold Path, we call it Arya Attangika Magga in Pali. Since some of the advanced students who are in the advanced Buddhist study group have learned some Pali, I'm going to take a little time to discuss these Pali words, because that will help you when you continue your studies to understand the meaning of these Pali words more deeply, rather than depending on English translations. The path, this is the path to end what we call dukkha, or anxiety-driven suffering. So the Arya Attangika Magga, Noble Eightfold Path. So, three words. First one is Arya, commonly translated as noble. So you can talk about four noble truths. Chattari, Arya Satchani. So four noble truths. This is Arya Attangika Magga, the word Arya, commonly translated as normal, noble. So Arya also means highly advanced or extraordinary. It could also mean a supernormal. Describing the experience of enlightenment, for example, in Pali, he says, Ariyaya Jatiya Jato. The person who experienced enlightenment is born in the family of enlightened disciples. It is like a second birth. Ariyaya Jatiya Jato. So, family of enlightened beings. So, Arya here means enlightenment, or those who are free from all defilements. So, the Eightfold Path then leads you towards enlightenment or spiritual awakening. So, three words, Arya Attangika Magga, Atta Angika here, Attangika. They're two words together. So, eight aspects. Magga means road, path, or simply means the way. So, the way with eight aspects that lead you towards the enlightenment. Now, Eightfold Path, we are talking about eight steps, and some of you have studied it. Huh? Sammaditti, Samma Sankappa, Samma Vacha, Samma Kammanta, Samma Ajiva, Samma Vayama, Samma Sati, and Samma Samadhi. And although we call it Eightfold Path, and often we refer to as eight steps, we are not talking about eight steps that are stacked on one top of the other, but they could be practiced simultaneously. And the eight aspects of the path that lead you to the freedom from all suffering when you practice. By practicing these eight guidelines, we aspire to achieve three main goals. First, a character transformation through change of physical, verbal, and mental behavior. This we call practice of sila. And the second, to cultivate inner peace and self-awareness and reach a state of samadhi or mental equilibrium. This we call practice of samadhi. And the third, to reach inner wisdom and understand the nature of suffering caused by egocentric, self-centered life. And that practice is called panya. So, Eightfold Path has three goals: sila, samadhi, and panya. And panya is also understanding the nature of pain and suffering caused by egocentric or self-centered attachments. Panya also is understanding the nature of pain and suffering caused by egocentric, self-centered desires. Whenever the wisdom is present, pain and suffering is absent. And we all know by experience, if you are a wise person, you're not going to be disturbed by bad behavior of others. In other words, all your unhappiness is due to lack of wisdom or absence of wisdom, or what we call lack of panya. So if we summarize the Eightfold Path again, we try to achieve mainly three goals as we practice Noble Eightfold Path: moral perfection, mental tranquility and equilibrium, in awakening the inner wisdom. We call Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. And today we chose to discuss and talk about the first two aspects of the Noble Eightfold Path. Since Buddha's teaching is written in Pali, and that is the original language, I would like to briefly discuss these Pali words that also will help you again when you continue your studies to understand the teachings better. Some of these English translations and often can be confusing or do not match with the original meaning of the Pali words. So the first one is called Samadhi. And already we have written in our topic, harmonious perspective. Samadhi, two words, Samadhi. So Samma means, usually people translate as right, Samma, right, which means right view, right understanding, right action, right speech, right livelihood, and so on. So you have to see that the translation right is the translation of this word Samma. Samma. And for some people the word right could be confusing, because this is right, this is wrong. Something that is right for one person may not be right for another. And often right and wrong is in conflict, because it depends on who defines it, under what condition. But if you look at the word Samma, there is no controversy and there is no conflict. Simply means harmony or harmonious or without any conflict. And there is nothing controversial about Samma. And so some of my teachers who give English Dhamma talks try to use the word harmonious. And I also think that that is more appropriate here. And ditti, the word ditti, is how you look at things or how you perceive something. And Buddha spoke of two kinds of ditti. Samadhi, which is harmonious perspective, and Michadhi, which is disharmonious perspective. So disharmonious perspective or unrealistic perspective that creates conflicts and cause suffering. So that's why we need to cultivate harmonious perspective or realistic perspective. When you closely look at Michaditti, now you're supposed to be learning about Samaditti or harmonious perspective, but you're going to pay little attention to Michaditti or disharmonious perspective as well. So when you closely look at Michaditti or our disharmonious perspective, it's in the center of all our unhappiness, misery, and pain. And our pain is produced by our perspective, how we perceive something. And let's take some example. For example, in the United States, there are a lot of political views and conflicts and divisions. And mainly there are two. There are Republicans and Democrats. And some people would take President Trump as a savior and as an amazing leader. Others 100% believe that he's destructive, harmful, and a bad leader. At the same person, two different perspectives. Since I have a base in the US and I often talk to the people who are distressed or who are in conflict, this issue often comes up. There is a new term they have adapted called Trump derangement syndrome or something like that. So it is clear that somebody who loves President Trump or somebody who hates President Trump, it's the same President Trump. But two different perspectives have shaped their experiences. So there might be many reasons, accumulated reasons, for somebody to feel bad about a person. But when a large group of people choose to feel good about somebody, there are a large group of people who have chosen to feel bad. Actually, they have not chosen to feel good or feel bad. They have blindly walked into this perspective and they are trapped in the dark image that is influenced by the negative feelings that arise from within and or positive feelings that rises from their perspective. So, you know, this I often talk to people about, you know, and try to point out nothing is right or wrong of President Trump. It is not his problem. Now you have a problem. Your problem is anger or hatred towards the president, and it is coming from your perspective. And your mental image of him is a result of your negative thoughts and feelings, which created a dark image of him in your head and dark image in your mind. Now, what is interesting is this dark image is a constant burden to you. This dark image is constantly bringing you discomfort or pain or unhappiness. And if you trace back to the origin of your hatred or anger, you will reach the place in your mind where your perception of things are shaped and your mental images are shaped. Your feelings and your thoughts are shaped. So definitely those who are suffering from, let's say, I don't know whether this is appropriate for Dhamma discussion, but this is what's going on these days in the US. So if you are angry with somebody and as a result you are in pain, and you are actually the person who has done bad things have nothing to do with your suffering. Your suffering is constantly produced in your mind because let's say somebody does something bad and you get really, really angry. Right? You become very negative and angry. And if you hold on to that anger and negativity and repeat it, your image, the image that you hold in your mind, especially of that person, getting darker, heavier, and more disturbing. So what is disturbing is your perception, the image in your mind that is produced by your perception. That is what is disturbing. Your enemy is not disturbing you. Your child who is rebellious is not disturbing you. Your spouse who has mistreated you is not disturbing you. What is disturbing, the disturbance, is the flow of anxiety and production of stress as a result of negative perception, disharmonious perspective. So that is called micha vitti. So all your suffering is a result of micha vitti. And think for example, a good friend criticizes you, a good friend, or insults you, or verbally abuse you. What happens next? You emotionally react, you get mad or angry, and you feel bad. Your emotions or emotional connection change the way you perceive that person now. Somebody who you really loved insulted you repeatedly with very bad words. What does it do to you? Now, what's happening in your mind? Your anxiety rises. Your negative reaction gets settled. Your image about that person begins to become darker and heavier. And when your image about that person is becoming darker and heavier, even thinking about that person is painful. Coming across that person is painful. Hearing something good about that person is also painful. And when anger becomes stronger, you know, you begin to dislike this person. And sometimes for a short time. And during this time, you have tainted your emotions or emotional reaction or negativity that flows from your negative emotion has tainted that image of the person in your mind. So you are actually not fighting with the person outside. That is the person, the image that you hold in your head and your perception of this person. Sometimes you hold it for a short time and sometimes for months. And I have heard of people who hold that anger for a lifetime. And the person who did whatever wrong to hurt you has nothing to do with your suffering now. And the moment you take a place of a victim, that's why we said, understand the suffering caused by others without taking the role of a victim. Because the moment you take the role of a victim, you are preventing yourself seeing where the suffering, where the pain, where the disturbances are coming from. It is a wonderful way to avoid being responsible for negative emotional pains that rise from within. Facing that does not mean telling that it's my fault. Facing that means that you understand the conditions that has produced this pain within you, the conditions that exist in your mind that is continuing to produce this pain and discomfort and cause to direct it towards this person and justify your pain by accusing that person and blaming that person. And believing what you're experiencing now is the problem of the person who did something wrong to you. So the question then you should ask is, did the friend who abused you and hurt you have changed you? Now your perception, influenced by negative emotional energy, gets settled in you. The abuser can get there. Abuser can reach that place. And that is why we need to cultivate harmonious perspective to develop inner strength, mental clarity, self-confidence to face this crazy world and face all these conflicts or diverse, all kinds of personalities. when you're angry with somebody, when you hate somebody, when you dislike somebody, when you're in conflict with somebody, change your perception of that person. Now, the negative energy that comes from that perception, the mental picture that becomes darker with that perception, is the main cause of suffering in me, suffering in my life. There are a lot of people who are living in constant distress because the people that they know, or spouse or friend has, or child, is doing something unacceptable, doing something to hurt them. This is the human nature. We have good people and bad people around us always. People are imperfect. But the problem is, if we don't guide our perception, if we don't correct our perception, we will live to suffer for other people's weaknesses, other people's shortcomings, other people's bad behavior, other people's unethical behavior or aggressive behavior. So, very interesting where the Buddha starts. The path to liberate yourself from suffering and emotional pain, samma-ditthi, reminding us micchā-ditthi is the center of our pain and suffering. And it is within you. Blinded by micchā-ditthi, we live in pain. And recently somebody, I don't know again about the time, has gone too much, and comes to me and says, my wife has changed. And they have applied for divorce. And so we were talking on the phone. And he was so angry and bitter. As I discussed with him the situation, I saw two problems. Two problems. First, how he hold on to an old image in his mind that was shaped by the experience of love with her. And during those loving and happy years, there was an image about this person. Now, what he was trying to do is to deny the reality of change and refuse to refresh the image of her by accepting the new reality. So these are two good people. She has become a bad person in his mind through his perception, and darker, heavier image within him about her, which is a result of his own failure to guide his mind, adapt, accept the reality, and change the perspective. So samadhi is a realistic perspective, harmonious perspective. So in order to do that, you need to pay attention to the source of your suffering and correct yourself. And the second one or aspect or step is called sammasankappa, harmonious thinking or positive thinking, let's say, and realistic thinking. So when you are emotionally trapped, especially in a negative emotion, you can change it by thinking positively, thinking realistically, and thinking harmonious thoughts. The same thing, this is sammasankappa and micchasankappa. There are two, positive thoughts and negative thoughts. And harmonious thoughts, thinking, and disharmonious thinking, micchasankappa. And wholesome thinking and unwholesome thinking. So when you are angry with somebody, when you are lost in pain, you need to look back at yourself. First, seeing your pain you bring in loving kindness. If you truly love yourself, as you radiate loving kindness towards you, you are not able to hold on to this anger, because you see that anger is hurting you, causing you suffering and disturbing you. So when you love somebody, you don't disturb that person. You don't cause pain to that person. You don't do things to cause suffering. So the same thing, think loving thoughts to yourself. When you're more lovingly connected, you can't hate others, you can't dislike others, you can't be jealous of others. And because all these negative emotions causing you suffering, causing you pain, bring you discomfort. So you can see that and you can purposely think about it. For example, somebody who you already locked in, or you're locked in with some sort of angry, bitter feelings, and you can think, you know, some good things about that person. You can force yourself to accept all the good things. And when you begin to think positive thoughts and good thoughts, and you're not denying whatever the bad things you have done and the bad feelings you have towards them, but you prevent the mind, these bad feelings taking over and completely barring or causing these good, positive, wonderful things for years and years and years to disappear. They can disappear in the presence of the huge dose of negativity that is produced in the present moment. But for this, Buddha recommends us to practice what we call Brahma Viharas, metta. When somebody disturbs us, Can we think positively? Because if can you change your thinking to positive, and you change your perception. When you start to think positively, it influences your perception about that person. Especially the present perception that is completely darkened by the painful emotion. It can be weakened, and it can even be removed because you start to think more positively with loving kindness or with compassion. And how do we see an enemy with compassion? How we see somebody who caused so much pain or verbally abused us with compassion? Or how can we think compassionate thoughts toward that person? Somebody who tries to hurt us is trying to hurt us, hurt you, let's say, trying to hurt you. This person is trying to hurt you because of his or her own pain. So the compassion allows you to see the pain which produced this aggressive behavior in this person. And that changes the way you perceive his behavior or her behavior. When you become soft-hearted, when you become kind-hearted, when you understand the root cause of aggressive behavior of somebody, when you bring a little bit more compassionate thoughts, you can see that helps the aggressor to become less aggressive, a violent person to become less violent, a bitter person to be free from that bitterness. So instead of taking the role of victim, if you become interested in the victimizer, and if you try to understand the victimizer, you might be able to help him to heal or her to heal, help him or to her to feel better, feel more secure, feel more loved. This will help very much to improve the relationship and make it a spiritual relationship. So then sammasankappa, change your thinking in positive, harmonious ways in order for you to live a peaceful, happy life or live in peace and walk the path towards your spiritual awakening. Walk the path towards enlightenment and walk the path towards moral perfection. So I think I have taken a bit of extra time today and wish you all well and I think next time we will talk about the two more steps of the Eightfold Path. I hope that you will remember some of these words, especially the Pali words, and you can also see that this is about our behavior and how we can change our behavior in order to alleviate suffering from daily life. And if you integrate these two principles into your daily life, you will see a huge improvement in the quality of your life. You will feel much stronger and more confident as you face the challenges, and you will be unshakable. And may you all find courage to look within and see how your perception, how your thinking, is the root cause of your suffering and unhappiness and misery. And may you all have the courage to take action to change your behavior. May you be well and happy. May there be peace, love, and harmony in your life. And thank you, everybody.